I do have a different outline for tonight, although it's a springboard of the same outline. We're dealing with a series called The Word and the Spirit, and the need for both, the Word and the Spirit. God never intended them to be separated, and the Word and the Spirit work together in the Christian life to bring us into Canaan land, to bring us into the victorious Christian life. And so far, we've learned about the Word and the Spirit belong together in the new birth. The Word and the Spirit belong together in fighting against sin and conforming to the image of Christ. The Word and the Spirit belong together in to making one wise. The Word and the Spirit belong together in doing the will of God. The Word and the Spirit belong together in guidance. The Word and the Spirit belong together in preaching and teaching. The Word and the Spirit belong together in worship. The Word and the Spirit belong together in evangelism. The Word and the Spirit belong together in discerning between the works of the soul and the fruit of the Spirit. And the words of the Spirit belong together in spiritual warfare. Now tonight, we're going to talk about this one. The Word and the Spirit belong together in maturing faith. The Word and the Spirit belong together in maturing faith. If you do not have an outline, hey Jesse, how'd it go out there tonight? Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you do not have an outline, Dave's going to get some. And not that one, Dave. The one that I handed you tonight, yeah. You've got it, probably. It's got a, it says, practical helps for building faith. Yep. All right. So that's just going to be kind of something I'll give you to at the very end. But in the meantime, let me see here. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. We'll start there, Romans chapter 10. The Word and the Spirit belong together in maturing our faith. All right, see who's Romans chapter 10. Say amen if you're there. Amen. All right, wait on the other half. Romans chapter 10. All right, so Romans chapter 10 is primarily talking about salvation and how salvation comes about through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And the emphasis is on how can they believe without a preacher? And so someone needs to proclaim and someone needs to preach the Word of God, because how can they believe if they don't have the Word, if they don't have the Gospel, if they don't have the message? And so in the midst of this context is written, teaches us in Matthew or Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me pray quickly and then ask the Lord to bless us. The preaching and teaching of His Word. Father, we do love You. Thank You for the opportunity to meet tonight. And I pray that You would add Your blessing to the preaching and teaching of Your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the midst of this, He says this. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, that's really a principle. That's really a principle. In other words, we believe, you ever heard of people believe what they hear, right? In other words, if there was a message coming from a far country that said so such and such happened in that country, you had to hear it before you would believe it, right? You'd say, oh, what, a volcano erupted over there? And you go, oh, wow, and you tell people, hey, you know, a volcano erupted over in so-and-so land, and it just kind of spreads, and everyone hears the message, and everyone has the opportunity then to believe it. And we often hear what we believe. Now, people believe lies. People believe all kinds of stuff. So, but primarily, it's a principle that people tend to just believe what they hear. And people grow up in their religions, and they just believe what they've heard. They don't check into it. They don't put any much study and thought into whether or not it's true, but they just believe it because they've heard it. That's what they've been told. And but in order for a person to believe the gospel, in other words, just because we hear it doesn't necessarily mean we have to believe it, right? So because you have the choice to hear and believe stuff too. You're like, well, I don't choose to believe that. That ain't correct. Somebody tells you something, you're like, I'm not going to believe that. Well, the same is true with the gospel, because when it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily this sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? So the truth of the matter is that they did hear, but they didn't believe. But you cannot believe without hearing. And so that's the emphasis, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we proclaim the Word of God and we preach the Word of God, we then can believe. We also can choose not to believe. But We cannot believe without first hearing. So hearing the word of God, hearing the hearing of faith. That's the first point, the hearing of faith. So by one way that God gives us faith is by hearing the word of God. Everybody okay with that? By hearing the word of God. So if I want to increase my faith, I need to increase my what? Hearing, right. Increase my listening, increase my hearing, or my reading, or my studying, or my contact with the word of God. And so oftentimes where we lie at is that we really don't see the emphasis in the need for faith. It's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than it is for, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go to heaven. And oftentimes we don't see the necessity of faith. And because we don't see the necessity of faith, we don't increase our hearing, right? Because if we saw the necessity of faith, we would be people of the book. We'd be people that would read it. We'd be people that when we hear it preached, if we thought that faith was like money, we'd be all over this book, wouldn't we? Yeah, we would. But the problem is that Christians don't see it that way, do they? They don't see the value of faith. Jesus knows the value of faith. Jesus says when he comes back to the earth, he's going to look to see if there's anyone that has faith. 1 John teaches us that it's the faith that overcometh the world. He didn't say money overcometh the world. He didn't say power overcometh the world. He didn't say authority overcomes the world. He didn't say anything. He said faith overcomes the world. So, first of all, if we want to increase our faith, we have to increase our hearing, the hearing of faith, the hearing of the word of God. And then secondly, there's another principle I want to point to you. It's in Galatians chapter 5. Turn there, Galatians chapter 5. See, Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, it's primarily talking about the ministry of the Spirit of God and the difference the Spirit makes in the Christian life versus the law and versus the flesh. And there is a contrast between the works of the law, works of the flesh, those that are under the law, and those that are led by the Spirit. And that contrast is found in 19 through 22, or through 24, rather. And we see the contrast of the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and so on. And then it goes in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and what? Faith. So by one means that God increases our faith is we increase our hearing in the Word of God. We increase our hearing. And another way that God gives us faith is that He gives us faith through the Spirit of God. It is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces faith in the believer. Everybody okay with those two? Okay. All right. We'd all agree with that. All right. So, number one, hearing of faith. Number two, the spirit of faith. Now, the third one is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Bible reads in verse 2, this is Hebrews chapter 12 is right after Hebrews chapter 11, which is the hall of faith. This is men that didn't just say they had faith, but showed their faith by their works. That's what it's about. It's James teaching. You say you have faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. And these are people who did things as a result of their faith in God. And then Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us the one who authors that faith. It says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. So one, if we want to increase faith, we got to increase our hearing of the Word of God. Secondly, if we want to increase faith, then we need to know that the fruit of the Spirit produces faith. And thirdly, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the word looking unto Jesus That's a term that simply means that you look away from everything else. You look away from everything else. And you look to Jesus, singular. You look to Him. And so it's no difference from Peter, right? He's on the water and he's got his faith on Jesus, and Jesus says, walk in the water, and he's just focused on Jesus. And he's walking on water. He can't even believe it. But then he takes his eyes off Jesus, starts looking around, and puts his eyes on the storm, and he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, help me. The Lord picks him back up. And it's the same way with our faith, that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And Jesus, that word author, the word author, it means this. It also means captain or chief or prince. Okay, those are other times that that same word is translated in our King James Bible as captain, chief, and prince. In other words, he's the captain. He's the captain of our faith. He's like the one on the ship, and he's steering that ship. He's taking that ship somewhere. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he that begun a good work in us will perform it on the day of Christ Jesus. He's the captain, and he's the author. He authored it in us, and he is the one that's making sure that our faith will arrive at its destination. So not only is he the captain, but he's also the chief. He's also the chief, like a leader, a general, someone that's overseeing it. And then he's also a prince. He's also a prince. So he sustains our saving faith. He's the sustainer of our daily walk and the finisher of our spiritual journey. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. So, how do these tie in? How do these tie in the Christian life? First of all, in Galatians, the hearing of faith, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says this, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, he was making a contrast to them who they begun in the Spirit, and yet they tried to perfect themselves by works. And he says, wait a minute, how did you even receive the Spirit? Did you receive it by the works, or did you receive it by faith? And they received it by faith. And so if they receive the Spirit by faith, then they are to be saved by faith, and they are to be sanctified by faith. And it's the Spirit which is the one working to perfect that believer. So he says, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. And then in Galatians 3:5, he says this, Paul writing, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There you go. There's the term again, the hearing of faith. So he's saying you received the Spirit by the hearing of faith, and now the Spirit is doing great works, miracles through your life. And how's he doing it? By the hearing of faith. Okay? So, and then you have in 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Spirit of faith is mentioned. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Bible reads this, we have the same Spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. You also believe, and therefore speak. So you have the hearing of faith, and then in 2 Corinthians 4:13, you have the Spirit of faith. The Spirit of faith. And that Spirit of faith is a working, he says, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And the context is in this aspect of the Spirit giving a faith that is not of me, but of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of faith. It's small s in the King James, but it's the same word. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of faith. Okay? And then in Galatians 2:22, I'll tie this together in a minute. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, listen to this, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? So he lives. How does he live this crucified life? By the faith. By the faith of the Son of God. So, each of these verses teaches us that the Word of God produces faith by hearing, the fruit of the Spirit produces faith, And Jesus is both the author and finisher of our faith. And it is important that we do not separate the Word from the Spirit from faith, and faith from Christ. So what is taking place is this. As we read and we hear the Word of God, the Word of God is producing faith, okay? It's producing faith. It's producing spirit. And the Spirit produces faith, and that faith is the life of Christ. Do you understand that? So if my end result is to have the life of Christ, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If the end result is I want the life of Christ living through me, then I have to spend time in the Word of God, and the Word of God will produce the Spirit of faith, and the Spirit of faith will produce the life of Christ. Does that make sense? I think of it in terms like electricity. John, Brother Jefferson knows electricity. Okay, so picture the instrument that I want to power as the life of Christ. And picture the wire as the Word of God. And the Spirit is the Spirit of faith that produces, that sets that instrument working. Okay? And so if I'm going to connect and have the life of Christ, I need the wiring, right? I need the conduit. I need something for that Spirit of faith to travel. And the Spirit of faith travels on the Word of God. As we hear the Word of God, it equips us with the Spirit of faith, and the Spirit of faith, which is the faith, which is what we live by, the faith of the Son of God, is the life of Christ. So, if I want the life of Christ, I cannot leave out the Word of God and the Spirit. Does that make sense? They work simultaneously. They work to produce the Spirit, the life of Christ. So, the hearing of faith, the Spirit of faith, and the faith of the Son of God. When God speaks, we have the Word. The Word is the Word, His Word is the Word of God. As we hear the Word, the Spirit infuses faith, the Spirit of faith, and the Spirit of faith is the life of Christ Himself, the faith of the Son of God. The Word becomes a Spirit, and the Spirit is the living faith, and the faith is Christ. The way to apply Christ is to be in contact with the Word by hearing the Word. As we contact or in contact with the Word comes into us and infuses us with the Spirit, and when the Spirit becomes the faith by which we live out, the Spirit becomes the faith by which we live out Christ and enjoy Him. Listen to John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You get that? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are the life of Christ. And so, do you see the simple connection here? As I spend time in God's Word, I'm producing the Spirit of faith. And as I produce the Spirit of faith, I'm able then to live out the life of Christ, the life of faith. Now, let me show you where that is found in another place in God's Word. And that is going to be found in Numbers, the Numbers chapter 13 and 14. In Numbers chapter 13, This is where the Israelites have been brought out of Egypt, and they have been brought through the Red Sea and into the wilderness crossing, and God is bringing them right up now to the precipice of entering into Canaan land. And God sends in spies into Canaan land, and these spies are to search out the land and come back with a report. And we know the song goes, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? And the report comes back to us in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with them said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' So here you see Caleb and Joshua, primarily Caleb is the one that's in view here. He has the spirit of faith. He has a spirit of faith that says, we can do it. We can conquer. We can live the Christ life. We can overcome the enemies. We can do it. And the other 10 spies says, we can't do that. We're not stronger than them. Now, we wouldn't know the difference between these two men except the Bible tells us. He tells us in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, but my spirit, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, it's evident, God's word says, he's got another spirit. He's got the spirit of faith. That's what he's got. Now, how did Caleb get the spirit of faith? Well, we wouldn't know, except it teaches us again in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, now Caleb, the first generation, has died off, and the second generation is allowed to go into Canaan land, and Joshua and Caleb are allowed to go with them because they have the spirit of faith. And they enter into Canaan land, and Joshua is the one in head, in charge, and Caleb is right there along Joshua's side trying to help as best that he can. And they go into that land, and they conquer that land. And as they conquer that land, it's time to divvy up the land to the tribes of Judah and to give out those the tribes, to give out to the 12 tribes of Israel and to give out each portion. Now, you remember Caleb. Caleb was the one that said, I want that what? Come on, class. I want that what? I want that mountain. Caleb hadn't forgot about that mountain. He had the same spirit of faith in Numbers 14, Numbers 13, as he does in Joshua chapter 14, except now some time has lapsed. I believe it was 45 years later. 45 years later, now Caleb is an old man. He's 85 years old at this time. And Caleb, he doesn't just wait for them to assign him a portion of land. He says, oh, hey, Joshua. Hey, Joshua. Hey, you. Hey. Before you give out that land, he says in verse chapter 14, verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it were, in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereunto thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed wholly the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Here's what Caleb said. I'm 85 years old, but I remember what God said. I remember what Moses told me. I will remember what God promised me. And I have that faith today just like I had it then. I got it now. How did Caleb keep the spirit of faith? He kept the spirit of faith because he kept God's promise and God's word in the forefront of his eyes. And because he kept the word in front of his eyes, he kept the spirit of faith. And when he kept the spirit of faith, he kept the life of Christ. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 15, or 2 Corinthians. I love the Bible. And this is, can I tell you, the Word of God, you know, it's just amazing. It really is amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13, for we having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by the Jews, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Isn't that amazing that when God speaks of the spirit of faith, that he's also speaking of this renewed strength, this that we die, although the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day? Isn't it interesting that we go to Caleb, who has the spirit of faith, and Caleb is saying, listen, just as I was as 48, I am 85, and I still want that mountain. By the way, the mountain that Caleb went to, that was the same mountain that Goliath and his descendants were from. He chose a mountain. A mountain is something you climb. It's difficult just to take a mountain because it's a mountain, much less have Goliath descendants upon it, giants, the greatest giants of the land. And he said, I've got the strength still, the stamina still, the faith still to claim that mountain and take that mountain for God, because the life of Christ was still in his life. Now that's a physical teaching trying to help us understand a spiritual application in our life. And the spiritual application is this, that if I want the life of Christ, the outward man perish. We get weaker. We get tired. We go through ups and downs. This flesh, this body, our soul, it goes through a constant trying and awareness of the soul and body. But the spirit ought not to wear. The spirit ought to be continually empowered and strengthened and renewed. Because of why? Because we are in the Word of God, and the Word of God is producing the spirit of faith, and then the spirit of faith is the life of Christ. And the life of Christ doesn't wear down. Does that make sense? And this is one of those things, this is one of those teachings that you can walk away from and you go, okay, I appreciate that. It's kind of like me, because this is where rubber hits the road. Because even though the source of faith is God, faith is a gift from God, and faith originates in God, we still have to come unto Jude. And Jude teaches us to keep yourself, the Bible says, building yourself up in your most holy faith. In other words, yes, it's God, but at the same time, if I don't put myself in contact with this book, schedule time and spend time with it and spend time with my God, it's not going to just happen by osmosis. It's not going to just happen because I really like that. It's a great idea. Let's example. It's like this. I've had a back injury since 2000. I was pulling up an STP out of the ground, a submergible turbine pump. I worked for Pace Oil Equipment. Imagine that, gasoline equipment. And I was pulling up an STP, which is a submergible pump that pumps fuel out of the ground to the dispensers, and as I was pulling that pump out of the ground, way low in the manhole, up on top of the concrete above the manhole, I pulled my back, and I felt it. And I said, oh man, I've never felt like that before. That's not good. And just kind of nursed myself, and then a couple weeks later on December of Christmas, I threw a football. When I threw that football, I went straight to the ground. First visit to a chiropractor. Took about 3 or 4 visits to that chiropractor before I was up out of my bed. And since then, I have a back injury. Now, what the chiropractors told me is they said, listen, you need to come in to get some chiropractor visits. You need to come in and you need to nurse this. And these are the exercises you need to do and all of that, right? And I just thought, you know, I feel okay. I mean, you snap my back, I'm pretty good. I'm all right, you know. I'm not giving you $40 every time I come visit you. You're just trying to get my money, you know. This is my philosophy at age, you know, 24 years of age, you know, 20, I don't remember what it was. Well, 19 years later, okay, I got degenerate back disc disease. What does that mean? Well, you know, I didn't heed the counsel. I didn't do the exercises. I didn't, so now here I am at a new chiropractor, Pace. Pace chiropractor. The Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? So now here I'm at Pace chiropractor. Now I'm having neck issues, you know, and sitting on my computer, my neck's just heavy, and if I talk to somebody for too long, I'm like, oh my goodness, my neck just begins real heavy. And so I'm going to the chiropractor for that, plus my degenerate disc disease. And he gives me some more exercises. And he says to me, he says, you know what, if you do these, you won't have to come visit me so much. And you know, the preaching and teaching of God's word is like that. It's adjustments at the chiropractor, spiritually speaking. But your daily walk in God's word is the real work that will benefit your Christian life, where you begin to live the life of Christ. Does that make sense? And so you can keep coming for spiritual exercises, but you may find yourself in 20 years later just with a bunch of adjustments that haven't really given you the life of Christ that you really wanted. But if you'll daily get in God's word, hook the conduit up so that the spirit of faith can work through you and produce on a daily basis the life of Christ, you'll have a different life. You'll have a different experience in your Christian life. And the thing about it is that we can't hide this, can we, whether or not we did the work or not. After a while, you know, I'm pretty good, but now you get me out doing something for too long, and I'm like, I got to quit. I can't do it because my back doesn't allow me to do it. And my friend, when we get older, the motives of why we do what we do change. A lot of times it's just because we do things because this is what we do, you know. But those motives change and priorities shift. And it's really not the spirit of faith that's causing us to do what we do. And so the spiritual things of God begin to be put on the back burner. And we just say, well, look, you know. But you'll see people like, I'll use Lou Weller as an example, who's 78 years old, standing on a ladder today, painting up the top of the of our Grace Baptist Church. Lou, you've already got your mountain, man. You should just ease it up. You should just take a break, man. You don't need a mountain. You're 87 years old, 78 years old. But you know what? He still has the spirit of faith. He still has the spirit of faith. And I believe the goal in the Christian life is to end with the spirit of faith. Wherever God allows you to live on this life, still having a spirit of faith and living the life of Christ. And it does it. How are you going to do it? Keep the conduit. Keep those connections going so the spirit of Christ can have his will and way in your life. Let me give you these real quick, these practical helps for building faith. First of all, we've already said it, scripture. Spend time developing your knowledge and understanding of the Bible. Understand that your knowledge is dependent upon your intellect as much as it's dependent upon your walk with God. So spend time understanding and developing your knowledge of God's word, but at the same time understand this, that if you grow in knowledge but not application, then you're not really growing in knowledge. And that's the worst type of person, is to grow in knowledge and not application, because they lose, God teaches us that if we don't apply his word, then he takes from us that which we've even learned. And then perspective. Look at the big things God is holding together in the big world to remind you of the big things in your life that you need God to help you with in your little world. And this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And actually, that's understanding this, that God holds the heavens. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 11 that the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? By the word of God, he holds things together. And then it goes through a list of the heroes of faith. You know what the connection to all that is? Faith is the estimation that God is. Faith is the estimation that God exists. Faith starts with the estimation that God exists. Faith is strengthened with God's ability. Okay, so if you believe that God exists, then you go to the next step. What's his ability? Well, his ability is he can frame the world. Okay, well then if you can believe that he can do that, then what's the next step? The next step is that so faith starts with recognition that God is. Faith strengthened is the estimation of God's ability. And faith substance is, by the way, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith substance is the next step, reliant on God's faithfulness. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 begins with. It's the works of faith. It's the step action of faith. I believe that he is. I believe he can frame the world, so I might as well just step out on faith. I might as well your next step on the faithfulness of God to you. So one is scripture, two is perspective, three is exercise. Without work out the faith that you do have in what you know God is requiring of you to do, God will give more faith when your smaller faith is exercised. So exercise. You can't expect to live 100 pounds if you haven't worked out with 50 pounds. You can't expect to have a fuller measure of faith. By the way, God gives measures of faith. You can't go up with a bucket load if you're not willing to even exercise the cup. Influence. Get around people that have great faith. Great faith in others will rub off on you, and so little faith. By the way, if you're in the crowd, if you have a crowd of friends, and you're, that's what they say in the business world or in the intellectual world or whatever, and you're the smartest one or you're the most successful, you're in the wrong crowd, you know. Well, same way in faith. If you're the smartest and the most, if you have the most faith in the group of people that you hang out with, you need to get a different group of people. In other words, you need to be challenged. And this is what we do, is we put ourselves around people of great faith. Transparency, confess your doubts to God and pray for more faith. That's Mark chapter 9:24. He says, Lord, I believe, help them in unbelief. Just to confess to God. Furnace, understand that God uses trials. Six is furnace, five is transparency, four is influence. Furnace, understand that God uses trials and tribulation to build and perfect our faith. You say, oh God, I want more faith. Well, okay, here comes some trials. But if you see faith as valuable, then you understand that those trials are necessary. Seven, source. Remind yourself that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith should not rely on our spiritual highs and lows, but rather our faith is rooted in Christ, who is faithful. Alignment. The Christian life is about maintaining balance. It is easy to get out of balance, but faith corrects imbalance. Ask yourself, are you living by faith? Analyze your life and say, is faith in this? The Bible says if it be not of faith, it is sin. Wow, faith needs to be exercised in our life. Faith should be exercised in our giving. Faith should be exercised in our service. Faith should be exercised in every area of our life. And then focus. Don't analyze your faith. Now, I just spoke on a message on faith. Now I'm telling you not to focus on your faith. Okay? Focus. Don't analyze your faith. Analyze the object of your faith. Don't ask, do I have faith? Is my faith enough? Rather ask, is God faithful, trustworthy, and reliable? Will God keep his promise? Faith originates in God, not in us. In other words, like the eye that never sees itself, faith needs to just be focused on the object of its faith. And if God is trustworthy, God is reliable, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses, what's, is he real? What's he possible? What can he do? And if he can do that, then faith easily finds itself exercised in that kind of object. And so the goal is to focus on him. And faith will be a byproduct of that. All right, that's what I've got for you tonight. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, I do want to live the life of Christ. And I know, Lord, in my own area, in my own life, God, this is a struggle. Lord, just continually walking with you and allowing that conduit of the Word of God to give me the spirit of faith that I might live the life of Christ. But I do believe it by faith that it's possible. And Lord, I pray that I'll continue to grow in these areas. I pray us as a church that we'll continue to grow in our daily walk with you, in our time with God's word, that it might produce the spirit of faith and the life of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight.